His nasab, lineage also. Even his nasab mentored. There's no one in the history of this world whose entire life has been documented like the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, showing to us how beloved Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is to Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. Allah loved everything about him. Every single ada, every speech of his, every action of his, designed by Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. As Hazrat says, Honorable Shaykh Abdul Hamid sahab, Allah ta'ala had already fashioned out, Allah had a mold of how Allah would love insan to pass his life and make his life. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had already that certain mode, style, fashion, trend, way. Allah ta'ala reserved it completely for his most beloved. Perfect. This is how I want this human to be internally, externally, head to toe, dressing, sleeping, waking, everything. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave different titles, different anbiya alayhi salatu wa salam. Some safiullah, zabihullah, ruhullah, kalimullah, different anbiya alayhi salatu wa salam. But the pinnacle and the best of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam, khalilullah, the friend of Allah. What can be better than that? When he came to Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam, Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam said, Allah ta'ala has made me habibullah. I am the beloved of Allah, subhanallah, that Allah loves me. That Allah loves Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So just looking at the kitab, Sirat al-Mustafa, although we're discussing the kitab on the demise of Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam, a few things were mentioned there in regards to the Battle of Khaybar, and also different incidents that took place in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the Battle of Muta. Just very quickly, the life of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, if you look through it, age of 40 were given Nubuwat, and then almost 13 years in Makkatul Mukarrama, then the Hijrah to Madinatul Munawwara, then the Battle of Badr taking place, and prior to that, there were some skirmishes, not major battles, where Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam had sent out different Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum. So they were called Saraya, expeditions. Not necessarily Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was part of it. So these Saraya were sent out, these expeditions of Hamza radiallahu anhu, the Ubaidah bin Harith, the Sa'd bin Abi Waqas, and the expedition of Abwa. That took place also in the Battle of Bawat. Maybe we haven't heard these names before. But these all took place before the Battle of Uhud. Then the expedition of Ushayra. Then came the Battle of Badr. It's also called the Battle of Safwan, or the Minor Battle of Badr, of the Battle of Ushayra. Then the Sariya, the expedition of Abdullah bin Jahash. Then came the Battle of Badr. So before that, there were a few incidents, skirmishes here and there. Then the second year of Hijrah was the Battle of Badr. Thereafter, there were the other expeditions also. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam had sent out Sahaba radiallahu anhum, different tribes, whatever it may have been. Then came the Battle of Uhud in Shawwal, the third year after the Hijrah. The second year was Battle of Badr, third year was the Battle of Uhud, 1 year later. Then came the incident of Bi'r Ma'una, where many Sahaba Ikram were made shaheed in that battle also. It was in the fourth year after the Hijrah. Then the fourth year, also the prohibition of alcohol came in the fourth year of Hijrah, where it became completely haram. Then we had the incident of the slander, also in the fourth year. Then came the Battle of Khandaq, in the fifth year. So every year there's something happening. So in the fifth year, the Battle of Khandaq, which we call the Battle of the Trench or Ahzab, the Confederates. There the battle took place in the Nikah with Zainab radiallahu ta'ala anha, in the revelation of Hijab, fifth year. So sometimes we'll hear of incidents, Sahabiya walked in a dress of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam directly. And you think, how this happened? So the hukam and the command of Parada hasn't been revealed as yet. So that came in the fifth year after the Hijrah. So there are many other expeditions took place. I'll just go to them very quickly so we understand them. This was all in the 50th and 60th year, beginning of the 60th expedition of Muhammad bin Maslama Ansari towards Qurta. It was 10th Muharram and 6th AH. Then the Islam was Thumama bin Uthal. That person, the chief of Banu Hanifa, that was tied to the pillar of the Haram. And on the third day after he was released, and in those 3 days he told Rasulullah to all the people in the world, the most abhorred person. When he was released, he left the Masjid al-Nabi, made ghusl, re-entered, and accepted Islam. It was Thumama bin Uthal. Expedition of Banu Lihyan, expedition of the Qarad in Rabiul Awwal, 6 AH. Expedition of Ukasha bin Mihsan towards Ghamr. Expedition of Muhammad bin Maslama towards the Qassa. Expedition of Abu Ubaidah bin Jarrah towards the Qassa. Expedition of Jamum. Expedition of Is, Tarif, Hasma, Wadi al-Qura, Dawmatul Jandal, Fidak, Umme Qirfa. Expedition of Abdullah bin Rawaha. So all expedition carries on. Then in the 60th AH, Dhul Qa'da was Umratul Hudaybiyah. Incident of Hudaybiyah took place in the 60th Dhul Qa'da. And the Bi'atul Ridwan took place. Inna alladhina yubayi'unaka, innama yubayi'una Allah. But the Bi'at was taken in Hudaybiyah and in the Treaty of Hudaybiyah. Thereafter came the international efforts to spread Islam. Letters to the world leaders, letters to the Emperor of Rome. The Dihya radiallahu ta'ala anhu sermon in the emperor's court. Then the letter to Khusro, Pervez, emperor of Persia. Letter to Nigas, the emperor of Abyssinia. Then his response to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Letters to Muqawqis, governor of Egypt and Alexandria. Then the lecture of Hatib radiallahu anhu in the court of Muqawqis. Then the response, and you continue. Letter to the ruler of Amman. Letter to the chief of Yamama, Huza bin Ali. Letter to the leader, to the ruler of Damascus, Haris Ghassani. This all happened in the 6th year. Then came the 7th year, the Battle of Khaybar. That was mentioned also in the kitab that we were reading, the final days of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, the Battle of Khaybar, that took place in the 7th year after Hijrah. So we'll just read it quickly so we understand the Battle of Khaybar and the significance, what happened between the Sahaba radiallahu anhum and the Jews. So here, is mentioned as Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was returning from Hudaybiyah, which was in the 6th year in Dhul Qa'dah. Surah Fatah was revealed, Inna fatahna laka fatham mubina, that we have given you an open victory. But the open victory didn't refer to Fatah Makkah. It referred to the Sahaba radiallahu anhum now, were only about 10,000 in number, and in those 2 years, by the time came Fatah Makkah, the number just now went up. So, behind all these clauses that the Mushrikeen had put, Allah Ta'ala said, we have given you an open victory. You will see how deen was spread now. To the extent they had clauses there, if a person of Makkah came to Medina Munawwara, then he must be returned. But if a person of Medina Munawwara comes to Makkah Mukarramah, we will not return him. Accepted. But Allah Ta'ala, how he created the thirst within the people to come to Medina Munawwara and accepted Islam. Surah Fatah was revealed upon Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. In this surah, Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala assured the Muslims in general and the people of the pledge of Bi'at al-Ridwan in particular that they will be triumphant in a number of battles and they will capture enormous spoils of war. As an immediate reward for this pledge was very difficult. We heard about it also when it was being written also, Muhammad Rasulullah, then Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, then the Mushrikeen, they took offense to this. We don't accept it to be the Rasul of Allah. Put Muhammad bin Abdullah. As Ali says, I won't erase it. Nabi of Allah erased it himself. Put there Muhammad ibn Abdullah. No problem. So all this. So Umar almost flared up. Oh, Nabi of Allah, aren't we upon the haq? Why should we go back? We'll take them on. No, we didn't come to fight. We signed the treaty. All the clauses against us, Allah will open the way. So Allah Ta'ala promised them in Surah Fatah that we will give you victory. So as an immediate reward for this pledge, adverse, we see Allah Ta'ala when He wants to give. In adversity, Allah Ta'ala gives also. So as an immediate reward for this pledge that they had taken, Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala had bestowed upon them the victory over Khaybar and the conquest of Makkah Mukarramah, which they had not as yet acquired, but would acquire soon. In future, they would you will surmount a number of victories, the knowledge of which only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has. In this verse, Allah ta'ala says, He has hastened for you this. The reference is to the conquest of Khaybar. Khaybar, where the Jews were living. Allah said that, I'll give it to you. You took a knock over here, so to say, but there Allah ta'ala will heal your hearts. Similarly, in the previous verse, and Allah rewarded them with a near victory, Fathan Qariba, a near victory. This near victory refers to the conquest of Khaybar. So really, Allah ta'ala told them beforehand that you want to get something, is coming your way. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam returned from Hudaybiyah to Medina. Hudaybiyah is, you see, some part of it is part of Makkah Sharif, and some is just outside the boundaries of Makkah Mukarramah. So returning from Hudaybiyah to Medina Munawwara, where he remained for Zulhijjah and the beginning of Muharram. Muharram now, this was now 7th year, AH. During this period, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was commanded to launch an attack against Khaybar, where the treacherous Jews resided, who betrayed the Muslims by inciting the disbelievers of Makkah Mukarramah against them in the Battle of Khandaq. The Jews were instrumental there. March against them in Khaybar to Khandaq. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also informed Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that upon hearing of the imminent conquest of Khaybar, the hypocrites too would eagerly implore him to allow them to accompany him on this expedition. Because they'll hear wahi has come down, so they'll understand that there's going to be a victory at hand, when I join the army also. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, never, these people should never accompany you on this journey. So Surah Fatah, many things Allah ta'ala opened up with the munafiqeen, quite clear. All the qualities, all the traits. وَلَيْكَ الَّذِينَ تَبَعَ اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ Allah ta'ala sealed their hearts. Allah ta'ala describes their habits. When they were sitting in the majlis, and they would come out from the majlis, and then they would speak outside, and they would say, مَاذَا قَالَ عَنِفَ What he said now? What he's talking about? Allah ta'ala says, seal their hearts. So this is the quality of munafiqeen. When you go to a majlis program, they say, what he's talking? Irrelevant. The people talk there. What the one I'm speaking? Talk about namaz, talk politics. Irrelevant. Doesn't know what's happening in the world right now. This was the trait of the munafiqeen. So they should not accompany you. The following verse was revealed in this regard. سيقول المخلفون إذا انطلقتم إلى مغانم لتأخذوها ذرونا نتبعكم. So long ayat, those who lagged behind in the expedition of Hudaybiyah, the munafiqeen, they lagged behind, will say, when you set forth to seize the spoils of Khaybar, allow us to follow you. What they will say? Allow us to follow you. ذرونا نتبعكم. Allow us to follow you to Khaybar now. They wish to alter the word and promise of Allah. Say, you will never ever be able to follow us. لَن تَتَّبِعُونَ كَذَلِكْ مِنْ قَالَ اللَّهُ مِنْ قَبْلِ Allah has decreed this beforehand. Then they will say, nay, you are jealous of us. بَلْ تَحْسُدُونَنَا بَلْ كَانُوا لَا يَفْقَهُونَ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا And you are jealous of us. And you do not wish us to be included in the spoils of war, whereas such a nation is ridiculous. The hearts of Sahaba radiallahu anhu were absolutely devoid of jealousy and greed. All the slander, all the allegations. But these people, the critics, do not understand except very little. Those great personalities before whom the context of the whole world were not even equal to the wing of a mosquito. Sahaba radiallahu anhum, the mere thought of them harboring jealousy is the ultimate in stupidity and foolishness. Don't even utter it also. Following a short stay in Medina Munawwara, this is now Muharram, 7 AH. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam set out for Khaybar with 1400 infantry and 200 cavalry. Infantry, soldiers on foot. So 1400 and 200 cavalry on conveyances towards the end of Muharram 7 AH. From the pure wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Umm Salama radiallahu ta'ala anha accompanied him on this expedition. Salama bin Akwa' radiallahu ta'ala anhu relates, on the night we set out for Khaybar in the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the celebrated poet Amir bin Akwa' radiallahu ta'ala anhu was ahead of us reciting the following pieces of rhyming poetry. Allahumma lawla anta mahtadina wala tasaddaqna wala sallayna. And he goes on the poetry. We're not going to the poetry. Then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam asked, who is reciting this rhyming poetry? When the people informed him that it was Amir bin Akwa' radiallahu anhu, he commented, may Allah shower him with special mercy. Therefore, when he was reciting Ash'ar, reciting the schemes of the Sahaba Ikram, they were eloquent in Ash'ar and poetry in the love of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. So he made dua, may Allah shower him with special mercy. According to the narration of Musnad Ahmad, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, may Allah forgive him. Whenever Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam made an exclusive dua of forgiveness in favor of someone, that person will soon die as a martyr. They knew. Allah forgive him. Soon he'll become shaheed. This is why Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu pleaded, Jannah is compulsory for him. If only you allowed us to take advantage of Amir's bravery and valor for a few more days. O Nabi of Allah, why you made the dua for him? Now Jannah is wajib for him now. That he's going to reach there soon. All of his sins are forgiven. When Nabi of Allah asked, may Allah forgive what he meant. It wasn't just been forgiven. En route to Khaybar, as Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reached a hillock, the Sahaba radiallahu anhu raised their voices in saying the takbir, Allahu Akbar. To this, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam commented, have pity upon yourselves. You are not calling out to a being who is deaf or absent. You are addressing a being who is close by and omnipresent. So you don't have to shout like this. Abu Musa Ash'ari radiallahu ta'ala anhu relates, I was close to the camel of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when he heard me reciting La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. They go, this wazifa, our Shaykh taught us also. Abu Musa Ash'ari was reading this La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. So he called, O Abdullah bin Qais, I promptly responded, I am at your service, Ya Rasulullah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked, should I not reveal to you the treasures of Jannah? Should I not reveal to you the treasures of Jannah, somebody opens his tijori for you, he's safe, he says, Subhanallah, dua got accepted. Finally, the Nabi of Allah said, I'm opening Allah's treasure for you right now. Abu Musa, are you listening? So what he recited there, La hawla wa la quwwata, this is now towards Khaybar. Should I not reveal to you the treasures of Jannah? I replied, may my parents be sacrificed for you. Subhanallah. Surely, why not? Ya Rasulullah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa reveal, La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. The treasures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In other words, these words are the treasures of Jannah. Since Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was aware that the Jews of the Ghitfan tribe had amassed a combat ready force. The Jews of the Ghitfan tribe had amassed a combat ready force to assist the Jews of Khaybar. He camped at a place called Raj'i, situated between Khaybar and Ghitfan. He did this to instill a bit of awe within the Jews of Ghitfan, so that they do not rush to the aid of the Jews of Khaybar. Consequently, when the Jews of Ghitfan heard that they themselves were in danger, they turned back swiftly. As they drew closer to Khaybar, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam bade the Sahaba radiallahu anhu to hold on, and he made the following dua: Allahumma rabb al-samawati wa ma adlal, wa rabb al-ardina wa ma aqallal, wa rabb al-shayatin wa ma adlal, wa rabb al-riyah wa ma adhrin. فَإِنَّا نَسْأَلُكَ خَيْرَ هَذِهِ الْقَرْيَةِ وَخَيْرَ أَهْلِهَا وَخَيْرَ مَا فِيهَا وَنَعُوذُ بِكَ مِنْ شَرِّهَا وَشَرِّ أَهْلِهَا وَشَرِّ مَا فِيهَا أَقْدِمُوا بِسْمِ اللَّهِ. O Allah, the Lord of the skies and the Lord of whatever they shelter. O Lord of the earths and the Lord of whatever they bear. O Lord of the shayateen and the Lord of whatever misguidance they had perpetrated. Lord of the winds and Lord of whatever they disperse. Allah Ta'ala help Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam in Khandaq with the wind. Allah Ta'ala sent the wind against the kuffar, the tents got uprooted, and they ran for their life thereafter. There was no battle. We beg of you for the best of this locality, and the best of its inhabitants. See the dua. He didn't ask to conquer. Ya Allah, we want this place. So he says that we ask you for the best of this locality, and the best of its inhabitants, and the best of whatever is within it. And we seek your refuge from its evils, from the evils of its inhabitants, and the evils within it. Saying this dua, Rasulullah directed the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, advance in the name of Allah. It was a noble habit of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam to recite this dua on entering a locality. Inshallah, we should learn it. As Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu narrates, Rasulullah reached Khaybar at night. It was his gracious habit not to launch an offensive at night. He would wait until the morning. If he heard the adhan, he would not attack. Otherwise, meaning adhan from that fort or that city or that town or that village. Otherwise, he would launch an attack. In keeping with his noble sunnah, even at Khaybar, although he knew there were only Jews in there, but then he stuck to it. Even at Khaybar, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam waited for the adhan of Fajr. When he failed to hear the adhan of Fajr, he made preparations to attack. The moment dawn broke out, the Jews clutching their picks and shovels set out to work on the fields. As they laid eyes on the invading army, they exclaimed in horror, Muhammad and the Khamis. Muhammad and his whole army is here. That was Khamis. Here they call them Khamas. Khamis is derived from the word Khams, that literally means five. Since the army is made up of five divisions, the army is, as a unit is referred to as Khamis. The arrangement of the army is as follows: the vanguard, the right wing, the left wing, the mainstay, and finally the rear guard. On catching the sight of these people, Rasulullah ﷺ raised his hands in dua, Allahu Akbar, Kharabat Khaybar. Kharabat Khaybar. Inna idha anzalna bisahati qawmin fasa sabahul mundareen. Allah is great, Khaybar is devastated, destroyed. Verily when we descend, verily when we descend in the courtyard, in the midst of a nation, then dreadful is the mourning of those who have been warned. The moment the Jews got wind of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, they retreated into their fortresses with their wives and children. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam launched successive attacks against these fortresses and conquered them one after the other. These fortresses were as follows, and they go into detail, we don't have the time. The fortress of Na'im, of Qamus, then Sa'ab bin Mu'az fort, then Qulla fort. For a few days it carried on. And the Watih and the Salalim court. So this was, Khaybar finally fell to the Muslims. Then the conquest of Fadak. Then came after the conquest of Khaybar. Last week we had read in the Kitab the poisoning of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. You see, in this campaign, either 14 or 15 Muslims were martyred, and 93 disbelievers were killed. Following this successful campaign, when the spoils of war and captives were drawn together, the Safiya bint Huyay bint Akhtab was the honorable wife of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, was also amongst them. The Safiya bint Huyay was also amongst the captives. She had recently married Kinana bin Rabi'. Huyay bin Akhtab was a descendant that was a father. Huyay bin Akhtab, the father of Hazrat Safiya, one of the Azwaj al-Mutahharat, was a descendant of Hazrat Harun alayhi salatu wasalam. That was her lineage. As the captives were being escorted after the battle, Hazrat Dihya radiallahu ta'ala anhu submitted, Ya Rasulullah, grant me a slave girl. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied, you have a choice, select whichever slave girl you fancy. Hazrat Dihya radiallahu ta'ala anhu chose Hazrat Safiya radiallahu anha. So this, she was a Jewess, captured from Khaybar. So this, the Sahaba radiallahu anhum remarked, Ya Rasulullah, this is the daughter of the leader. She is the most appropriate for you. Hence, Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam repossessed her and granted him Hazrat Safiya radiallahu anha's cousin in exchange of her. And thereafter, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam set Hazrat Safiya radiallahu anha free and married her. A detailed account of Hazrat Safiya's nikah will be mentioned under the chapter dealing with the Azwaj al-Mutahharat. This, as Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam conducted himself with Hazrat Juwayriya radiallahu ta'ala anha in the expedition of Banu Mustalaq in keeping with her family honor and nobility, similarly on this occasion, in keeping with Hazrat Safiya radiallahu anha's noble lineage, and the fact that she was a descendant of Hazrat Harun alayhi salatu wasalam, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam set her free and married her. So she was honored to be among the Zawj Mutahharat. Thereafter, after the conquest of Khaybar, which year this was? Seventh year. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam stayed on for a few days more at Khaybar. During this period, Zainab bint Haris, the wife of Salam bin Mushkim, presented to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam a gift of a grilled goat seeped in deadly poison. Her name was Zainab bint Harith, the wife of Salam bin Mushkim. So she presented a gift of grilled goat seeped in deadly poison. The moment Nabi alayhi salatu wasallam tasted it, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam held his hand back. However, Bishr bin Bara bin Ma'arur radiallahu ta'ala anhu was seated with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, consume part of it. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam cautioned, hold it, this goat is steeped in poison. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam summoned Zainab and asked her the reason for this heinous deed. She confessed, yes, the meat was poisoned, because if you are truly a divine messenger, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will surely notify you about it. And if you are a false messenger, then the people will be released from you. Since Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam never sought revenge for any loss or injury caused to his personal self. Never. He released her. He released her. However, when Bishr bin Bara bin Ma'rur passed away with this poison, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam handed her over to Bishr's heirs, life for a life. She was the cause of it. They executed her in retaliation for the murder of Bishr. This is Qisas. When the lands of Khaybar were conquered and the lands fell into the lot of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Muslims, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam intended to banish the Jews from Khaybar. So we hear this about the Jews and Khaybar. Intended to banish them from Khaybar as per the agreement. However, the Jews begged Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to allow them to stay on condition that they would cultivate the land and pay half the harvest to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as tax. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam accepted this condition, but also added, "We will allow you to stay on as long as we wish." So you can understand from that time already how many places they were banished from. And they're still now looking for the promised land. Hazrat says, Alhamdulillah, Allah's great, great, great fazal upon the Muslim Ummah, that when it comes to us, we know with certainty 100% where our beloved Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is resting. We have our Baytullah, book your ticket and go make ziyarat. The rest of the people, they don't know anything about their Nabi, where he is and where to go to. They all just roaming around. Allah Ta'ala still given us there, Alhamdulillah. Since such a sharecropping agreement was concluded for the very first time in Khaybar, such sharecropping agreements are referred to as mukhabara. Whenever the occasion for harvest and distribution drew close, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would send Hazrat Abdullah bin Rawaha radiyallahu ta'ala anhu to determine an estimate of the crops. Abdullah bin Rawaha is buried in Muta, in Jordan. So Abdullah bin Rawaha radiyallahu ta'ala anhu would divide the entire harvest into two equal parts and invite them to take whichever one of the two parts they preferred. Witnessing this level of fairness, the Jews would say, it is due to this level of justice and fairness that the skies and earth are still standing. Subhanallah. Even there, they agreed to this and accepted it. And then in another narration, it is mentioned that Hazrat Abdullah bin Rawaha radiallahu anhu would reply to the Jews. He would tell them, Ya ma'ashar al-Yahud, antum abghadu al-khalq ilayya. قتلتم الأنبياء الله وكذبتم على الله وليس يحملني بغض إياكم. He said, oh Jews, you are the most despicable of Allah's creation. He told them that time. The most despicable of Allah's creation in my eyes, because you murdered a number of Anbiya alayhim salatu wasalam and attributed falsehood unto Allah. However, this revulsion that I harbor for you, this hatred that I harbor for you, would never drive me to be unfair to you. I still be fair to you. I won't stab you in the back. The Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu and a few of his companions appeared before Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam after the conquest of Khaybar. However, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not allocate a share for them from the war booty. But this was the battle of Khaybar. Then, what the significance also, just to read quickly, when the Muhajirin came from Makkatul Mukarrama to Medina Munawara, then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam in Mu'akhat, brotherhood between the Muhajirin and the Ansar. So they're still sharing their homes, their farms, their properties, their businesses. So when the Muhajirin migrated to Medina Munawara in the early days, the Ansar forever, eager to provide assistance, temporarily offered some of their lands and orchards to the Muhajirin in a bid to provide a source of mutual benefit to them, the donor as well as the donee. However, following their time at Khaybar, the Muhajirin were now rendered self-reliant. Therefore, they returned these lands and orchards to their respective owners in Medina Munawara. Nabi of Allah located for them pieces of land in Khaybar now. Very fertile land. The Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu's mother, the Ummu Salama radiallahu ta'ala anha, had also awarded Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam the benefits of a few trees. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam assigned these trees to his wet nurse Ummu Ayman radiallahu anha, was also the mother of Hazrat Usama bin Zayd radiallahu anhu. When the Muhajirin returned the seas of the Ansar, meaning the orchards, etc., then Hazrat Umm Sulaym radiallahu ta'ala anha also requested the return of her trees from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. These trees were already assigned to Hazrat Umm Ayman. So she had, so to say, borrowed the trees. Now Nabi of Allah gave it to Umm Ayman, those trees. Now she wanted the trees back. She was amongst the people of Medina Munawwara. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked Umm Ayman, his wet nurse, to return these trees to Umm Sulaym radiallahu anha. She refused. And stepping a cloth to Hazrat Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu's neck, she tugged the cloth and said, "By Allah, I will never return these trees. If you force me, I may take his life." Her own child. Since Umm Ayman radiallahu ta'ala anha was a wet nurse of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and also a slave girl of his father, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not wish to disappoint Hazrat Umm Ayman in any way. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "O Umm Ayman, return these trees and take some other trees in exchange." Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam continued exhorting her in this manner, but she only agreed to return these trees when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam promised to give her 10 trees from his personal property in exchange of each or one of these trees. Look at the informality with Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam. He's exhorting her, like he's begging her. And she said, "No, I'm not giving it." What level of tolerance, hilm, muhabbat, love. In view of her rights of upbringing and nurturing Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Rasulullah conducted himself in this indulgent manner with her. Then the prohibitions of Khaybar, also significant. At Khaybar, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam issued a few prohibitions. These included prohibition of the meat of domesticated donkeys. It was haram now. Then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam forbade the sale of any share of the war booty before its actual distribution. Distributed first, you want to sell yours, you can sell yours, but you can't sell it now when it's still all together. He forbade the use of raw garlic, especially before Salah, etc., because of the smell. He endorsed the consumption of horse flesh, meaning now permissible. Ulama hold conflicting views and opinions on this issue. Then there were other. Also, when it came to Khaybar, the Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam also had gathered the Ansar and he thanked them for the 7 years of khidmat, so to say, that you shared everything with the Muhajirin. Now I have allocated land to them and so there won't be any more need now for you to share your homes or your farms, your orchards, your wells, etc., and your crops. Now I have allocated to them. So look at the jazba of the Ansar. So amongst them there was a Sahabi called Shammas bin Qais radiallahu ta'ala anhu wa Ansari. So he stood up. He said to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, "Allocate how much you want to them. Allocate how much you want to our brothers of amongst the Muhajirin. But no way whatsoever we will let them go from our homes. They are our brothers, they will stay with us. They can have their plots and their lands over there and they can make all the money they want to. But they are our brothers. We will not allow them to leave our homes." There is a level of brotherhood that Sahaba Ikram had amongst themselves. Today we find amongst brothers and sisters and parents, etc., where there's so much of intolerance. Where, when are they going to move out? How long are they going to stay? The Sahaba Ikram, look at the muhabbat and the love. Then came, very importantly, we did last week also, about the army of Usama radiallahu anhu. Jeshu Usama. Nabi alayhi salam prepared that army to go to the Romans. This was because of the Battle of Muta to proceed. And in that interim, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam passed through. And among them was Abu Bakr Siddiq, Umar bin Khattab, a part of that army. And Hazrat was the Amir, Hazrat Usama bin Zayd radiallahu anhu. He was young, 17 years old. So that army was now prepared now to go towards Sham because of the Battle of Muta that had taken place before that. So remember now we're sitting in the 11th year, Hijrah, The demise of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Right, today is the, already today is the 6th now, Rabiul Awwal. So the expedition of Muta took place in Jumad al-Ula, the 8th year. This was the 8th year. Very quickly, I'll just try to go through the highlights. The Muta, name is Muta, Mim Waw Ta. So Muta is the name of a place in the region of Balqa, that is in Jordan. That time was holy, it was called Sham. When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam issued written invitations to Islam, as we mentioned before, to all the different emperors, to the kings and rulers of the world, he also issued, wrote a letter to Shurahabil bin Amr Ghassani. Shurahabil, his name was bin Amr Ghassani. Shurahabil was the viceroy of the Levant. The Levant, L-E-V-A-N-T. On behalf of Caesar, the Roman emperor. So Caesar was a Roman emperor. So he was a viceroy of him over Sham. That time is called Levant. When Hazrat Haris bin Umair radiallahu ta'ala anhu reached Muta with the letter of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Shurahabil got him killed. This was the 8th year. Got him killed. For this reason, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam dispatched a 3,000 strong force towards Muta in the month of Jumad al-Ula, 8th year. 3,000 now going to Sham, to Muta. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam appointed Zayd bin Haritha radiallahu ta'ala anhu as the Amir of the army and added, if Zayd is killed, Ja'far bin Abi Talib radiallahu anhu will be the leader of the army. And if Ja'far is killed, Abdullah bin Rawaha radiallahu ta'ala anhu will be the leader. And if Abdullah is killed too, the Muslims may appoint as Amir anyone they deem suitable. So they already knew that these three are going to be made shaheed. This is why this campaign is referred to as the expedition of the army of the leaders. These three leaders were made shaheed in the blessed land of Sham. Rasulullah s.a.w. entrusted a white flag to Zayd bin Haritha and instructed, go to the area in which Haris bin Umair was martyred. He was a emissary, the ambassador at that time. And invite the local inhabitants towards Islam. If they accept this invitation, well and good. Otherwise, seek the divine assistance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and engage them in jihad. Rasulullah s.a.w. accompanied this army right up to Thaniyatul Wada'. That's how you find Jamaat, you say, they go and meet the Jamaat and bid them farewell, all part of the Sunnah. To bid them farewell. At Thaniyatul Wada', Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam halted a little while and offered the following words of advice to the army. This is now Hidayat Bayan. Here's it, words of advice. At all times bear in mind taqwa and righteousness, be Allah conscious. Always wish well for your companions. When you go on safar, have taqwa in you, protect your eyes, your heart, your mind. Those that are making suffer also soon. So taqwa has to be adopted. And also Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, wish well for your companions, take care of them, forgo your rights, see they are comfortable. Wage jihad in the path of Allah with the name of Allah against those who disbelieve in Allah. Don't fall into deception, nor be guilty of a breach of trust. Don't ever kill a child, woman or elderly person. Is it all the guidance for jihad? As Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was bidding the leaders of this expedition, these are great Sahaba ikram, Ja'far bin Abi Talib, the first cousin of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, fathers and brothers. As he was bidding farewell to the leaders of the expedition, Abdullah bin Rawaha radiallahu ta'ala anhu burst out crying. When asked what made him weep, he replied, Ama wallahi, said, behold, by the qasam of Allah, ma bi hubbu dunya, wa la sababatun bikum, wa la kinni sami'tu Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam. يقرأ آية من كتاب الله عز وجل وإن منكم إلا واردها ولست أدري كيف لي بالصدر بعد الورود. He said, I swear by Allah, it is neither my love for this world nor my fondness for you, meaning the people, that makes me weep. It is because I heard Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam recite the following Quranic verse, there is none of you but he will pass over hell, pass over Jahannam, and this has been decisively declared by your Lord. So I do not know, how will I return after passing over hell? What will be my condition? As the army was on the point of departing, the Muslims called out to them in dua. They begin dua for them. The people of Medina Munawwara. May Allah Ta'ala bring you back safe and victorious. May Allah Ta'ala bring you back safe and victorious. To this, as Abdullah bin Rawaha radiallahu anhu replied in the following couplets. Subhanallah. He says, لَكِنَّنِي أَسْلُ الرَّحْمَنِ مَغْفَرَةً وَدَرَّبَةً ذَاتَ فَرْغٍ تقذف الزبد So he replied, this may Allah take you, bring you safe and victorious. He replied, I do not aspire to return, but I beg the forgiveness of Allah, and I hope for a deep sword wound that frots, or I wish for a wound inflicted by a razor sharp spear, or an arrow that penetrates right through my intestines and liver. Shahadat, he makes dua for shahadat. حتى يقال إذا مروا على جدتي يا أرشد الله من غاز وقد رشدا. He says thereafter, I wish to be wounded to such an extent that when people pass by my grave, Abdullah ibn Rawaha's grave is in Jordan, in Muta. When they will pass by my grave, they may applaud me and say, ah, bravo, what a brilliant warrior. What a success he made of his life. Subhan, the success of his life. This was success of his life. He got shahadat in the path of Allah. As the army was on the verge of leaving, Abdullah ibn Rawaha radiallahu anhu came close to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi and recited the following couplets. Anta Rasul, فَمَنْ يُحْرَمُ نَوَافِلَهُ وَالْوَجَهَ مِنْهُ فَقَدْ أَزْرِي بِهِ الْقَدَرُ. He said, you are the divine messenger. He was whispering. He said, Nabi alayhi salatu salam, you are the divine messenger. He who is deprived of your blessings, he who is deprived of your blessings and deprived of beholding your blessed face and countenance, destiny has disgraced him. Destiny has disgraced him. فَثَبَّتَ اللَّهُ مَا أَتَاكَ مِنْ حَسَنٍ تثبيت موسى ونصرا كالذي نصر. May Allah Ta'ala grant you steadfastness and perseverance like Musa alayhi salatu wasalam in all the good he has bestowed upon you. And may Allah extend divine assistance towards you like he did with the previous anbiya. This is now his final words to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. He said, إِنِّي تَفَرَّسْتُ إِنِّي تَقَرَّسْتُ فِيكَ الْخَيْرَ نَافِلَةً فِرَاسَةً خَالَفَتْ فِيكَ الَّذِي نَظَرُ. I perceive your goodness to be more than ever, and this perception of mine contradicts the perception of the disbelievers. To this Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam responded, and you too, O Ibn Rawaha, Allah Ta'ala grant you steadfastness also. When Shurahbil heard of the departure of this army, Shurahbil was Levant, he was the viceroy there of Qais, was it? When he heard the departure of the army towards Muta, he amassed more than 100,000 troops to fight against the Muslims. How many Muslims we had over here? 3,000. 100,000 troops to lend support to Shurahbil, the Roman Emperor Heraclius. He himself landed at Balqa with another 100,000 troops. 200,000. When the Muslims landed at Ma'an, they heard that a huge army of 200,000 soldiers awaited the 3,000 Muslims at Balqa. The Muslim army camped over for 2 nights at Ma'an, while deliberating about what to do and the way forward. One group suggested that Rasulullah be informed about this, and the Muslims should await his instructions and reinforcements. To this, Hazrat Abdullah ibn Rawaha radiallahu anhu commented. He says, O people, I swear by Allah, what you seem to abhor is exactly the same martyrdom you set out to achieve. Why are you waiting now? Why are you waiting for Mashwara? We've been sent. We do not fight the disbelievers on the basis of power or on the strength of numbers. Subhanallah. This was always the Ummah. Our fighting is solely on the basis of this deen that Allah has honored us with. So get up in advance, because you will attain either one of two goods. Either you will be triumphant over the disbelievers, or you will gain martyrdom. That was it. There's no going back. So this, the people replied by Allah, Ibn Rawaha has spoken the truth. Look at the Arab, they say, you tell him the haqq, it hits the heart. Saying this, this committed and devoted group of 3,000 Sahaba and men, radiallahu anhum, advanced towards Muta to engage an army of 200,000 strong enemies of Allah. 200,000, and we got 3,000 over here. As they landed on the battlefield of Muta, and both armies confronted one another, Zayd bin Haritha radiallahu ta'ala anhu, holding the banner of Islam aloft, stepped out to fight the enemy. He continued fighting valiantly until he was martyred. First one to drop was Zayd. Thereafter, Ja'far radiallahu ta'ala anhu mounted on a horse, stepped out with the flag in his hand. When he was completely encircled by the enemy and his horse was wounded, he dismounted and cut off his horse's fetlocks, the legs, and taking a courageous stance against the enemies of Allah, he continued fighting them. Note, he cut off the legs of the horse so that the enemies do not derive any benefit from it. As he was engaging the enemy, he would go on reciting the following couplets. This is a couplet of Hazrat the Ja'far radiallahu anhu. يا حبذا الجنة واقترابها طيبة وباردا شرابها والروم روم. He said, how magnificent and pure is Jannah. How magnificent and pure is Jannah and its environs, and how cool is its waters. As for the Romans, the divine chastisement has drawn close. They are disbelievers and their lineage is distant from ours. Otherwise, they do not enjoy any family relationship with us. When they confront me, I am obliged to strike them. As he was fighting, his right hand was chopped off. He then held the flag with his left hand. When the enemy chopped off his left hand too, he took the flag to his bosom until he was martyred. In compensation, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestowed him with a pair of wings with which he soars with the angels in Jannah. Allah ta'ala blessed him. Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu narrates that when Hazrat Ja'far radiallahu ta'ala anhu's body was located, he had more than 90 arrow and sword wounds on his body, and every one of them was at the front of his body. Never turned around and ran for his life. He took it on 90 wounds. He had not a single wound on the back of his body. After the shahadat of Hazrat Ja'far radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Abdullah bin Rawaha radiallahu anhu assumed control of the flag and advanced towards the enemy. He was mounted on a horse. For a few moments he was stricken with misgivings of his nafs. He addressed his nafs and recited the following couplets. These are also printed there by his qabr in Muta. Inshallah, partake us, inshallah. To stand there by the great Sahaba Ikram, where they made the qabr, La Madina Munawwara. So these are also, it's on the wall there next to his qabr. So he said, Aqsamtu ya nafsu, atanzilanna karihatan. Oh nafs, I swear that you will dismount from the horse. Told his nafs. Hesitating now. Oh nafs, I swear that you will dismount from the horse and engage the enemies of Allah whether you like it or not. If the people are screaming and lamenting, let them do so. Why is it that I observe you harboring an aversion towards Jannah? In other words, why are you not advancing speedily? The fact that you are faltering in going forward is an indication of your aversion towards Jannah. Is it this merely to censor himself? Wake up. Then he says, you, O nafs, were always at ease. What happened to you now? You are nothing but a droplet of fluid in the uterus. You are wavering just for this insignificant droplet. Then he says, O nafs, even if you are not killed today, you will be killed one day. This is the inevitable destiny of the process of death. Then finally he said, what you had desired is now available to you. And that is the opportunity of martyrdom in the path of Allah. You accomplish the feats of these two people, Zayd and Ja'far, and then you will be well guided. Saying this, he alighted from his horse. His cousin, his father's brother's son, offered him a meat bone, saying, why don't you suck on this? Get some energy to fight. You are starving for a number of days now. Abdullah bin Rawaha radiallahu anhu took the bone and he sucked it just once and drew it aside, exclaiming, oh nafs, people are engaged in jihad and you are busy with worldly pursuits. He then took hold of his sword and advanced onto the battlefield. He continued fighting gallantly until he was martyred and the banner of Islam fell from his hand. At once, Thabit bin Akhram radiallahu ta'ala anhu took hold of the banner and addressed the Muslims thus, O Muslims, appoint an Amir over you. The people responded, you are our Amir. We are pleased with you as our Amir. Thabit commented, I am incompetent in this field. Saying this, he thrust the flag into the hands of Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhum and remarked, you are well acquainted with the art of war. Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu was a bit reluctant to accept the post of Amir, but all the Muslims unanimously agreed to this appointment, clutching the banner of Islam. The Khalid radiallahu anhu advanced against the enemy with great courage and dynamic dauntlessness. He fought the enemies of Allah. The Khalid radiallahu anhu himself narrates, in the battle of Muta, whilst engaging the enemy, 9 swords are broken at my hands. 9 swords are broken at my hands. Only a single Yemeni sword remained in my hands. The Yemeni is still standing also. On the second day of the battle, the Khalid radiallahu anhu altered the plan of the battle. He changed the vanguard with the rear guard, while switching the right flank with the left flank. On noticing this modification in the ranks, the enemy was struck with fear. They assumed that more reinforcements arrived to bolster the Muslims. Ibn Sa'd Abu Amir radiallahu anhu narrates when Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu launched an attack against the Roman forces. He crushed them so severely that never before have I witnessed such an outstanding defeat. The Muslims were able to swipe their swords wherever they wished to. They also came into possession of some spoils of war following the crushing defeat of the Romans. The Khalid radiallahu anhu did not deem it appropriate to pursue them any further, and together with his relatively small group of men, 3,000 against 200,000, returned to Medina Munawwara. Subhanallah. So this was the battlefield of Muta. So upon this now, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam had prepared the army of Usama radiallahu ta'ala anhu and was about to dispatch them when Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam left this temporary world. Inshallah, we'll continue next week, inshallah, with the final days of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. So that was Muta in the Jumad al-Ula, 8 AH. Then came the conquest of Makkah Mukarramah the same year, Ramadan. Same year, Ramadan. So Khaybar was 7th. Then came Muta, then the conquest of Makkah, then the Battle of Hunain was in Shawwal, also 8th year. The Battle of Tabuk was 9th year, Rajab. Then 10th year was the year Amul Wufud, the year of delegations. Then came Hajjatul Wada. Then the 10th year Zul Hijjah, and the 11th year Muharram Safar, and the Rabi'ul Awwal. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq to understand the Sirat and to study the Sirat also. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك نشهد ان لا اله الا انت نستغفرك ونتوب اليك.